thinking about old Brother Nathan singing that song. Brother Rocky used to sing it back in his younger. He may could sing it now. He can't sing it now. I don't mean right this minute. But he always done a good job. Always done a good job. God just blessed that song and blesses it. And so I appreciate the fact that we're able to still enjoy it. And then the harmony of Miss Abigail, I don't know what the name of the group is, but whatever it is, that group, what a blessing that is. I mean, that's just, you couldn't run a survey and come up with better harmony and voice blending than that. You just couldn't. You just couldn't. And then there's others of you that are singing, and let me tell you, it's good to be saved and to know you. And is it on? Here we go. Take your Bible, if you will, to the book of Malachi. I'll give you a chance to find that in the book of Malachi. It's the last book in the Old Testament. And as we get ready to stand and read there from the chapter, I like good singing. Gets me ready to hear the word of the Lord in the day and hour that we're living in. I appreciate Brother Darrell the other night whenever he was preaching. And he was talking about that group and people thinking, you know, singing's done more to get people saved than anything. And they're lying. They don't know what that is. The Bible said God chose the foolishness of preaching. I tell you what good Bible singing does, makes you want to hear good Bible preaching. And I'll do the best I can, and maybe one of these days you get to hear something good. But until then, in the book of Malachi, chapter 4, chapter number 4, verse 5, verse 6. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of thy word. Thank you for it. How good it is to be in the house of God. We thank you, Lord, for what we've already heard this morning, and our hearts rejoice in the great gospel singing that we've enjoyed. We pray you'd bless this message now to every heart. Save the lost, lift up the downhearted. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, thank you, and be seated. I want to preach a sermon entitled, The Great and Dreadful Day. Isn't that something, whenever you look into this book of Malachi, is that the last thing the Lord ever had to say to humanity was when he closed out the book of Malachi and didn't say anything else for 400 years until Matthew chapter number 1. I got to say to you, wouldn't that be something? How'd you like to spend 400 years with no message from God? And God said, that's it. They don't want it. And they've slain the prophets. They've mocked them. They've made fun of them. And I'm not going to speak to them again. And for 400 years, he was pretty silent and never said a thing. In the Bible lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you that when we read that passage there, that Elijah is not the one that did come, John the Baptist, that is. He says over there, and the Lord Jesus said that he's already come. He had to be talking about the spirit of Elijah. When they pinned John the Baptist down and said, art thou that prophet, talking about Elijah? And he says, I am not. I am not. Now, I want to tell you something, is that when you look into this Bible, the first thing we notice, man is born cursed. Got a curse upon him. You know what that means, don't you? If you're here this morning, you're not saved, there's a curse of God upon you. It's caused by sin. It's because you're born a sinner. And let me say to you that, if you will, that whenever you begin to look into the Bible, you'll find that, well, who is he to tell me that I'm a sinner? The Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, sin is an awful sounding word to the modernist. They want to feel like somehow or another they've got a bargain plan with the Lord. They don't. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, the Bible said the reason why men are cursed. Look, and don't lose your text, but in Malachi 2 and about verse number 2, I want you to see it there in that passage and show you something about it. He said, if you will not hear and if you will not lay it to heart to give glory to my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you. I will curse your blessings, and yea, I've cursed them already because you do not lay it to heart. You know the reason why man is born with a curse on him? He doesn't take serious what God had to say. That's what it said. In other words, here's what God said. You don't want to hear it, you got a curse on you. You don't want to lay it to heart, you got a curse on you. See? I've got kin folks that are that way. I'm sorry to say that, but I'm just saying to you, that's not my decision. That's their decision because they're not laying it to heart. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out is that look in chapter 3 and look at about verse number 9. Chapter 3 and about verse number 9. He said in that chapter that's over there, you're cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, even this whole nation. And we'll deal with that a little bit later. And then look in Malachi chapter 4 and verse number 6 that we just read. And he said, he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. I guarantee you right now, has your heart been turned to God? If your heart's not turned to the Lord, and I'll tell you, there's a ton of people out there that have no regard for God, the Bible, good, right, moral, and decent. I'll tell you right now, most of them politicians that are up there, and I don't care if they're Republican, I don't care if they're Democrat, but most of them politicians, they're hell-bent and they're hell-bound, and they've never laid to heart what God ever had to say. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out man is born with a curse. If you're not saved here this morning, the curse of God's upon you. You'll never be able to work it out. You'll never be able to be good enough. You'll never be able to make up for it. Let me tell you right now is, your hope should be on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. And if you lay it to heart and receive Him unto yourself, man's curse because of these things that are there. Number two in this, let me tell you, Christ is the only answer. The Bible said over there in the book of Galatians chapter number 3 and about verse number 10 is that the Bible said those that are under the works of the law, they're under curse. You may think that somehow or another you can be a do-gooder and get to heaven. You can't. There's a curse upon you because you don't believe the love of the truth that you might be saying. In Galatians 3 and verse number 13, you'll find that Christ redeemed us. In other words, the Bible said the Lord redeemed us from the curse of the law. In other words, He took away the curse of the law from us that we might be born into the family of God by His wonderful and marvelous grace. I can tell you the reason why when I pillow my head that I've got such a peace of God that passeth all understanding in my heart, same way you do if you're a child of God, and that is you're not dependent on you and Jesus, you're just dependent upon Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. In this Bible lesson, let me say to you, the Lord Jesus Christ took away the curse. Had He not taken away the curse, it'd be impossible for man to ever come to Him and to be able to bargain with God and to work it out with Him. I've had people that give their testimony and they'd say, well, you know what? I told the Lord that if He'd do this or He'd do that, that I'd believe in Him. God ain't in the bargain business. Now, that may satisfy you, but that's not going to satisfy Him. Let me tell you, He'll share none of His glory with you or anybody else. I've had people, you know, and I ask them, hey, if you died today, would you go to heaven? Well, ought to. I've been a leader in the Masonic Lodge and all that. Well, let me tell you right now, that'll send you straight to hell. I know some people that used to be in the lodge that got saved. Used to be. You hear that? Every now and again, somebody comes along. And let me just tell you right now, if I were to make you go through the same ritual the lodge does and come down here, you men, in your drawers and kneel down and then had to worship somebody in a chair sitting up here called the worshipful master, you'd want to run me out of town on a rail. And yet they'll swallow that up, buddy. That's exactly right. And they don't like you saying nothing about it. And let me tell you right now, is that I had a man walk forward, used to be the worshipful master over in Louisiana, and he said, I want to tell you, I'm demitting from the Masonic Lodge, and I can tell everybody why. And boy, you talk about a town turned on him. I mean, even the night, hey, listen, if there's one time I ever seen the Masonic Lodge and the Roman Catholic Church and get together in their little serious, unserious moments, it was over that one issue right there. Make no mistake about it, is that you'll find that all they can tell you, well, you know, if you'll join, we can tell you what the secrets are. Jesus never had you join Him until after that you heard the word of the truth that you might believe and be saved. You better be careful about any group, any fraternal group,
any group. It don't make any difference if it's the Lions Club, the Lion Club. You understand what I'm telling you? In this Bible lesson, you'll find that men and women and boys and girls are born under a curse. In this Bible lesson, you'll find out that number three, he talks about the coming of the Lord. Now, isn't that something? There's 2 days in our text that's mentioned in one verse. There's a great day mentioned, and there's a terrible day mentioned. And let me say to you, the terrible day, let's deal with that first. The Bible said it's a terrible day for those that die without the Lord. You've got a curse on you, and the Bible said you're condemned already. Remember over in John, St. John chapter number 3, whenever he said, he that believeth is not condemned, he that believeth not is condemned already, because he's not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. If you're not saved here this morning, you're not going to be condemned. You're already condemned. There's already a curse upon you because you've not received the love of the truth that you might be saved. In the passages that we read, you know what was wrong with them? It wasn't they didn't have a spokesman or somebody to preach to them. They wouldn't lend their ear to hear it. That's what he said in Malachi 2:2 that we read. They wouldn't hear it. What they did hear, they never laid it to heart. You know, the Baptist church is full of people that way. They've come time after time, and they've listened time after time, and yet they've never laid it to heart and applied it to their own self individually and then to their family collectively. I got to say to you that, if you will, that Bible said they did not want to give glory unto God. That means there was no honor for God whatsoever. They wanted to take all the credit for themselves and all that business there. Now in Malachi, in chapter number 2, and you can back up there again, but I want you to look in verse number 8 and 9. We preach it all the time. Brother Darrell, in fact, mentioned it the other time whenever he was preaching. And this is what's wrong with the average church across the country. In verse number 9, therefore he said, I've also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as ye have not kept my ways, but you've been partial in the law. Did you hear him say it the other night whenever he said it's not what the preacher's saying, what he won't say, that buddy that God's upset with here? I mean, you go to the average Baptist church and hear something that's nice, it's kind, it's soothing, but they're not ever going to say what God said, the way God said it, to whom God said it to. They don't want to upset and disturb anybody. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, here's what he said. This Bible said that in chapter number 3 and about verse number 9. Now, I'm looking for, this is going to be a shouting verse, no doubt about it. If you're a tither. I appreciate all three of you that tithe. I want you to watch in this Bible lesson that you're looking at here, and about, he said, we're talking about a curse. We're talking about a terrible day for those that are cursed. Look in Malachi in chapter number 3, and look again in verse number 9. Well, let's just back up to verse 7. Now, even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Now he's going to drop them a pretty strong hint. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And his answer is in tithes and offerings. Then verse 9 said, you're cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. And then he tells them how to remedy it. Repentance is going to be bringing back what you've robbed God and so forth and on. Now, I want you to pay close attention. Do you know over there in the New Testament, you'll find that Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, and he was talking to that religious but lost crowd, and here's what he said. You pay tithes of Ananias, mint, and cumin, and then omit the weightier matters of the law. These ought you have done, and not left the other undone. You know what Jesus is telling them? You've been partial in the law. That's what he's condemning over here in this Bible lesson that we're looking at. Let me ask you this right here. Did you notice that whenever you look into this passage and Jesus said the reason why they're cursed is talking about a terrible day to be able to face God. It's a terrible day because of the fact, are you buying a house with money you robbed from God? Last house note you sent in, was that God's money? Now, by the way, and I want to say this very clearly so that you'll know it, we'll not take time to dig into it. But do you realize at all that if you're running a little bit of short of money, that you can take your tithe and use it for whatever you're going to need to, as long as you're willing to make it up? And Leviticus said that if a man redeems it all and all of his tithe and wants to use it for something else, whenever he brings it back in, he's to add a fifth part to it. That's 20% interest. See what I'm telling you? And we're wondering why so many people are sick all the time, hurt all the time, destroyed all the time. You see what I'm talking about? This Bible said that when you begin to look, and make no mistake about it, I can't tell you the times that, man, something hits close to home or hits the home. God's trying to get my attention, and he certainly has gotten it. I hope he's getting yours. And he asked that question, and whenever he asked it, and he said, because you've robbed me in this whole land. And they thought, what's he talking about? What do you mean we've robbed you? Wherein have we robbed thee? All right, here's a pretty strong hint. Tithes and offerings. I asked somebody one time, and I said, hey, you a tither? Well, most of the time, you're not a tither. If you tithe most of the time, and yet you're skipping some time, you're a God-robbing thief. That means you're buying a house and paying notes. What about driving a car? Are you driving a car and driving something on with God's money? Huh? If you're listen, I know preachers that'll get up and beat you over the head about you wasting money on candy bars. You could give it to mission. Tell him to stick it in his ear. Yes, sir. You tithe and give to missions above your tithe. Buy all the candy bars you want to, or pile your money up. I wouldn't suggest pile your money up and burn it. I know a preacher that's poor that could use it. And not me. Y'all know I'm not. You know I'm not poor. I know some that are. I used to be one, so I recognize poverty when I see it. I mean, I've got catfish bones to prove it. That'll never happen again. Brother Joe was bringing food last night. We were so full we couldn't eat. Thank you anyhow. In the fact you had it in your heart and hand, you did well. I can tell you right now is God bless Brother Joe for trying to take care of all them kids. You know, that one night there at that rodeo, they got that kiss cam. Man, it just focused right in on me and the wife. Yeah, I didn't do it. I was sitting there thinking, you know, they don't tell me how many people that's going to recognize who this is. We're not public kissers. I said, somebody asked me about it and came up, somebody from Walmart, hey, I seen you the other night on the kiss cam. I thought, boy, am I glad I kept my hands to myself and not, yeah. Boy, am I glad I didn't go ahead and, because he just kept on, you know. You know, they won't just leave you alone, they just want to keep on that. But I'm not going to let some Jesus false preaching, praying, jitterbug loving, joy juice drinking announcer intimidate me into kissing my wife. What if I'd have got her stirred up and she went to dripping my clothes off right there and I'm on the, on the kiss cam. Ooh, did y'all see that preacher? Oh, I know what some of you are thinking. And by the way, I appreciate all of you looking decent and so forth and on and being right there. I looked around. I thought I'd seen a lot of old church members, you know, with their butt cheeks hanging out and their bosoms hanging out. And by the way, fellas, you're not supposed to look at a woman like that and salute and say thank you for your service. That's for people serving in the military that you do that for. I just said all that to be able to tell you, friend, is that there's a great and terrible day that's coming. And don't you kid yourself, friend. I didn't write it. I'm just reading it and telling you. If you've robbed God to buy a house, to buy a car, to go on vacation. Oh, Lord, do I need a vacation? You better start saving your own money instead of robbing God of His money. Now, I said that, and notice that, if you will, that the reason why, in verse number 9, he said, you're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me. If you're not a tither and giving a mission above your tithes, you're a God-robbing thief. That's what he's talking about. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. I got to tell you right now, friend, is that you're not going to be able to outgive God. You're not going to do better than obeying the Lord. And let me tell you right now is that there's a great day that's coming. There's a dreadful day that's coming, but there's a great day. Now I want to get ready to close with that. Do you realize to know that if you repent toward God, wherever you've been wrong in life, you can be restored to fellowship with Him. You can walk down the road rejoicing in the blessings that God has put upon you. And let me tell you something, this great day that He's mentioned in our text, you know who that is, don't you? That's those whose heart have turned unto the Lord. And I'll tell you what I do know, whenever your heart's been turned unto the Lord, you've got a heart for God. You ever talk to anybody about the Lord? You can just tell the heart wasn't in it. Now, sometimes they might just be annoying and you just want them to shut up because they're just annoying. I got to tell you something right now. If your heart has turned unto the Lord, He turned it. Not only that, He saved you by the grace of God. Now, I want to say in closing, you ought to turn your heart to the Lord if you've not done so already. And there's a passage I want you to look at in the book of Revelation, in chapter 22, and we're going to close with that passage. It's great to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin. When somebody gets saved, it's always a rejoicing thing. Listen, heaven has a camp meeting over one sinner that repents, than 99 just persons that need no repentance. I want to say that in Revelation chapter number 22, this Bible starts out and shows me, said, I'm going to show you a pure river, a water of life. Look in verse 3 and look at the blessings of all that's going to be there. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm saved by the wonderful and marvelous grace of God. And I'm looking forward to a great day, great day. It's going to be a big event. It's not going to be dreadful to you and I, except for the judgment seat of Christ. I'm sure that we think on that. But let me just say to you that it's going to be a great and wonderful, marvelous day to those that are redeemed that know the Lord. But it's going to be a dreadful day to those that have been crying and praying for the rocks and mountains to fall on them and hide them from the face of the Son of Man, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Let's stand to our feet as we get ready to pray and get ready to leave here this morning. As we are here about ready to pray, maybe you'd say, Preacher, God's been tugging at my heart. Well, then I suggest you do business with Him with every fiber of your being and with all of your heart, soul, and mind. Our Father, we ask Your blessings upon the reading of Thy Word. We thank You for the privilege to come once together again like this. We want to thank You now for the good liberty You've given us, for the good Word of the Lord, and the promise and the hope of Thy coming. We say with the men and women and prophets and preachers of old, even so come, Lord Jesus, and may You find us busily occupied about Your business, that we be not ashamed at Thy appearing. In Jesus' name we pray.